So just as we go into our practice, this poem, Tukaram, and it's called Certainty. Certainty undermines one's power and turns happiness into a long shot. Certainty confines. Dears, there is nothing in your life that will not change, especially your ideas of God. Look what the insanity of righteous knowledge can do. Crusade and maim thousands in wanting to convert that which is already gold into gold. Certainty can become an illness that creates hate and greed. God once said to Tuka, "Even I am ever changing. I am ever beyond myself. What I may have once put my seal upon may no longer be the greatest truth." The dangers of clinging to views. And we do this, especially our own personal views. And so let's listen to the bells to take us into our sitting. So taking a comfortable posture that's alert, remembering your intentions for being here, all the lovely curiosity and open-heartedness expressed, that attitude of metta, M-E-T-T-A, loving-kindness, imbues the attention with warmth. And can we engage the practice with curiosity, that not knowing, that beginner's mind that's implied by the poem, Certainty? Connecting with body, connecting with breathing, however you like to do that. Anchoring in the present moment through body, through breathing, through body and breathing together, whatever you prefer, whatever helps you to be present, to be in this moment. And one last reading of encouragement before we go into the practice more deeply, from Margaret Atwood, her poem, The Moment, with lovely instructions about letting go of clinging and knowing the not-self characteristic, especially through that sense of interbeing, the moment. The moment when, after many years of hard work and a long voyage, you stand in the center of your room, house, half acre, square mile, island, country, knowing at last how you got there, and say, "I own this," is the same moment when the trees unloose their soft arms from around you, the birds take back their language, the cliffs fissure and collapse. The air moves back from you like a wave and you can't breathe. "No," they whisper, "you own nothing. You were a visitor, time after time, climbing the hill, planting the flag, proclaiming, 'We never belonged to you. You never found us. was always the other way around. So can we let the simplicity of the sensing through body, through breathing, find us? Can we let go of knowing how things are? And so practicing in the silence. Aware of the changing nature of experience, sensations, body. Aware of the dukkha, the stress, the suffering of clinging to any experience, sensation, thought, emotion. Remembering none of it is who we are. Just phenomena, nature rolling on. pleasant, unpleasant, neither, arising and passing all on their own. Especially if we don't cling. And so opening to any clinging, to anything, feeling the dukkha of it, and it may be enough for letting go to happen, letting be to happen. Sometimes as we practice, it's not enough to simply keep noticing the places of holding, of clinging and aversion. Sometimes that simple awareness, loving awareness, isn't enough, and we need to investigate more deeply with our grain, our rain practice. That may be true for you. Jane Hirschfield wrote in her poem, Burlap Sack, she wrote about that relationship between our suffering or stress or dukkha, if you will, and not self. Remembering the end of rain can stand for the not self characteristic, not me, not mine, nature rolling on. And so here's her poem, Burlap Sack. A person is full of sorrow, the way a burlap sack is full of stones or sand. We say, hand me the sack, but we get the weight. Heavier if left out in the rain. To think that the stones or sand are the self is an error. To think that grief is the self is an error. Self carries grief as a pack mule carries the side bags, being careful between the trees to leave extra room. The self is not the load of ropes and nails and axes. The self is not the miner, nor builder, nor driver. What would it be to take the bride and leave behind the heavy dowry? To let the thin-ribbed mule browse in tall grasses, its long ears waggling like the tails of two happy dogs. So when we go deeper into our dukkha with rain grain practice, we may see some of the freedom that she's pointing to take the bride, let go of the heavy dowry, the price, to be like a happy mule with your ears flapping. So if you need to, take a few moments. Rain, grain, practice with whatever has been troubling you. So take a few minutes for that in the silence. careful not to get lost in investigation. Careful of looking for certainty, an answer. Let the investigation stand, knowing you can return to it another time, and that it's changing, whatever it is, arising out of causes and conditions, whatever it is, nature rolling on, that in of rain. And continuing to practice nicely grounded in body, or body and breathing, or just the breath somewhere. Keeping metta alive as we notice the changing nature of all experiences. And let go. as we've been practicing, we may have been aware of a number of places of holding, of clinging, of dukkha, of possibly a multitude of pains and sorrows. And we rarely feel grateful for them. As great teachers, as openings to awakening. So to finish off our practice, again from Jane Hirschfield, her piece, to hear the falling world. Only if I move my arm a certain way, it comes back. Or the way the light bends in the trees this time of year. So a scrap of sorrow, like a bird, lights on the heart. I carry this in my body, seed in an unswept corner, husk and cowled, and seeming safe. But they guard me, these small pains, from growing sure of myself, and perhaps forgetting.